And we might as well look at the first verse as well. We've covered the first five chapters of Galatians. Looking at this letter from Paul to the church there in Galatia. And we just finished chapter 5. Chapter 6, verse 1 says, "Brethren," okay, so he's talking to us. Even the cistern he's talking to. He's talking to Christians, however. "Brethren, if a man or a woman, a cistern, be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted." Yeah, we said we're going to start in verse 2, but verse 1 is a good verse not to be skipped over, is it? Not at all. And restoration is what God is all about. And we can all fall, we can all have problems, but when that happens, if we are spiritual, we will restore that one in the spirit of meekness, realizing it could be us. We actually will talk much more about that verse, Lord willing, next time. But for tonight, we're looking at verses 2 through 5 specifically, which says, "Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden." Twice in those verses we see the word burden. And many times in Scripture it talks about burdens. We all have burdens, don't we? Do we? We all have burdens. Some have a physical handicap, and it's a burden. Some have chronic sickness that burdens them down. Some have some kind of abnormality in their life that they can't change. Many people have financial burdens these days, emotional burdens like depression or anxiety, heartache over some kind of a loss. As we said, a financial reversal. And many people have spiritual burdens as well, many Christians. It may be that Hurricane Satan has struck your life and the surge of sin has soaked your soul, and now you're suffering spiritual consequences. We all have burdens of many different kinds. Once upon a time, a Chinese woman lost her dear son. And she could not get over her grief. She could not find comfort. And she went to a wise old man and asked him what to do. And he gave her this advice. He said, "Go to a home that has no sorrow or grief and bring back a mustard seed from that home. And I will ease your grief." Several days went by and she returned and said, "I'm sorry. I was so selfish in my grief, I found that sorrow is common to every home." In other words, she couldn't find a place that had no sorrow or grief in it to take a mustard seed from. We all have problems. We all have cares. They weigh down upon us like a burden on the back. Some talk about them and some don't. It's actually healthy to talk about it to an extent, and there is an extreme where it can become unhealthy, where the person feels like they have it far worse than anyone else, when we all know that there's always people who have it worse than you. But it's unhealthy to just bottle it up and try to act like it's not happening either, like you don't feel it. We all have problems and cares. They weigh down like a burden on the back. I mean, we don't all have wealth, but we all have burdens, right? We don't all have health, but we all have burdens. Not everyone has talents that really stand out in the church, but everyone has this in common. They all have burdens. We may not all have our own home, but we all have burdens. Not everyone here has children, but even if you don't have children, you can have burdens. You can look around the room tonight and see that we don't all have hair. But we do all have burdens. Every day of life here on earth brings to us its own assortment of burdens, does it not? And I think we'll be blessed to study God's words about this and answer this question, what do I do with my burdens? This passage answers it for us tonight. Number one, that's why we've given you a little handout here. We've got a good little outline that we can remember and can help you when you have burdens next week or next year even. This is so simple, but it's profound, from Galatians 6. Number one, some burdens are meant to be shared. Shared. That is, shared by others. Verse 2 again. Galatians 6:2 says, bear ye one another's burdens. That's a shared burden. That's saying, hey, your burden, but my back. I'm going to help you tote this load. Here's some examples of burdens which could be shared if you jot them down. Faults and failures of others. Faults and failures of others. Matter of fact, we read verse 1 a moment ago that says, when your brother's overtaken in a fault, restore them. When a fellow believer stumbles, falls into sin, falls out of church or whatever, I'm not talking about those who choose to sin, to wallow in it, but those who've fallen down, help them back up. Rather than pointing accusing fingers, or rather than doing what a lot of Christians do, which is shoot their wounded. We should reach down. We should reach down and give them a hand, a helping hand to lift them back up and get them back on track. Are you with me tonight? We are supposed to encourage one another. We are supposed to strengthen one another when it comes to faults and failures and fallings. You know, we all fall short. As my roommate in college used to say, God forgive us for our falling shorts. We all have them, and we need to help one another up. Verse 2 we just read about bearing one another's burdens. Verse 3, for if a man think himself to be something when he's nothing, he deceiveth himself. We just read 2 and 3, and here's the fact tonight. The thing that will keep us from doing verse 2 is to be guilty of verse 3, to think that you yourself are above ever needing that hand up yourself. It's pride and arrogance to look down our nose at somebody who's fallen and not realize, but by the grace of God, that's me right there. And if it were me, I would want someone to help me up, to take me back, to hug my neck, to love on me and say, it's okay. We all have these problems sometimes. And you help me when it's my turn, please. And sure, I'm here for you today. There's people like that who feel like they are God's gift to the church, God's gift to all of humanity. And actually, when others fall in a weird, twisted way, it helps them to kind of feel good about themselves. Because compared to them, I'm doing all right. It's value by comparison. It's self-righteousness. Bible calls it. It's also self-deception to think that we're better than someone else who falls. We all need each other at times. Let's be reminded tonight, church, that we are a body. We are all parts of the body. We need one another. We are interconnected. Well, every lady in the room knows that the only perfect person other than Jesus Christ is your husband's mom. Every man knows the only perfect person other than Jesus Christ is your wife's first husband. And so, with these things in mind, we realize that there are no perfect people. We are all truly prone to wander. We all need each other. So, the first thing on the list that we need to, or burdens to be shared, examples of burdens to be shared, are the faults and failures, fallings of others. Secondly, sorrow and grief. Sorrow and grief. Now, when you come and experience a service like we shared in Sunday morning, which is becoming less and less rare around here, but very rare in Christendom these days, an electric service where God is just all over it. You know what I'm talking about? When you feel something like that, it's wonderful, but there is a danger. There's a danger of us forgetting that even in that room with all those people and that great feeling that we all sensed, at any given time at Grace Baptist Church, there are people who are suffering, who are under a load of grief or depression, burdens on their back. And sometimes you can see it on their face, but sometimes not, because we like to put on the fake plastic smile, especially at church, don't we? And we don't want to, we want to fit in. So it seemed like everybody's smiling. But I know better. There's people that are under a load. They're under burdens. They hear the laughter and they even try to join in on it, but as the Bible says, the end of that mirth is heaviness. Once the chuckle is down, or once you jump high at some spiritual truth and your feet hit the floor, you realize, I'm right back to where I was. I'm still under the, it didn't go away. I still have this burden on my back. There's always somebody present going through an awful time. There's an old saying that says, be kind to everyone, for everyone has sorrow of some kind. Tragedy, sorrow, disappointment, depression, grief, they will eventually visit the house of every single person. Listen to Ruth 2:13. We don't quote Ruth too often. Then she said, let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord, for that thou hast comforted me, and for that thou hast spoken friendly unto thine handmaid, though I be not like unto one of thine handmaidens. Here's the story. Reminder, most of us know it. She was a stranger in a foreign land. She was an outcast. She expected to be ostracized. She expected to have to go without, but someone came into her life and comforted her. And it was a huge blessing to her. So question tonight, whom have you comforted recently? Who has comforted you? Bear ye one another's burdens. And in so doing, you fulfill the law of Christ. Hey, we quote that often. Now that we've studied Galatians together, which is all about the law, what is this verse saying when it says that we are fulfilling the law of Christ? Any ideas? Excellent answer. Ding, ding, ding. Give her a panda bear from the shelf or something. Sir, is that what you were going to say? Okay. She beat you to it this time. She beat you to it tonight. It's a good answer. The law of Christ, so fulfill the law of Christ. The law of Christ is love. Love. And love will surface and show itself in good works and in bearing one another's burdens, certainly. This is one reason that God allows sorrows to come to us. According to Ruth, so we can be comforted. And then in turn, so we can comfort someone else. Someone else in need of comfort. 2 Corinthians 1:4, speaking of Christ, says, He comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them that are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. He comforts us so that we may comfort others. Okay? Are you still listening tonight? Okay. Pizza sitting heavy? Is this cheese a little thick tonight? George W. Truett, pastor of First Baptist of Dallas, years ago, told of a lady in his church who had a baby who died. And he knew that she was going to need comforting, and he was her pastor. So he tried and tried and tried to comfort her, and hours of counseling couldn't help her. And then he remembered another lady in the church who had lost a baby some years before. He enlisted her to go help. And she did more, he said, in 5 minutes than he did in all those hours to help that one. You see, He comforts us so that we may be able to comfort others. Having lost one, we've been able to help some people who've gone through that sort of thing as well, so I can understand that illustration. And we could go around the room tonight and probably find some areas where God has specifically comforted you, and you are specifically qualified, more than me, more than others in this room, to go and help someone else through that very thing. Because you've been there. You've been through it. You've carried that burden on your back, and you've had it lifted. And so you have a burden now to help others who have that burden, to help relieve that. So, let's not wallow in self-pity. Let's not allow our tragedies to be wasted. Can I say it that way tonight? They say that the Obama administration says don't waste a good tragedy. In other words, the time to let out some of the bad news that the news would have talked all about is when a big hurricane hits, and that's what the news is all talking about. That's what they mean by that. What do we mean here? Don't let our tragedies be wasted when so much good can come out of them. God wants to use them for good in others.
And I don't know if this falls in here, but this is something. My ex-husband is not anywhere near perfect.
Okay.
Not very nice person, but he had an accident, and I was working, and I was always the one who never shared. I could do it all myself. I took care of other people. And then all of a sudden God said, you can't do this all by yourself. And I had to let people in, and
it could be sometimes when we don't do that, when we don't ask. Yep. So let's be patient. Let's be kind. Let's understand that everyone has burdens. Speaking of old preachers from yesteryear, I like J. Vernon McGee, who told of a church member criticizing him. They criticized him to his face because he ignored them on the subway. Well, this wasn't his usual way. He tried to be friendly to people, especially church members. If he would see them, he would say hi to them. He asked when it was, and they told him, and he didn't remember seeing them, but he remembered the date. He remembered that day and the very bad news that he had heard, and the extremely heavy burden that he was carrying at that moment. And so he apologized to the man. He told him the situation. He said, it's no excuse, but here's why I must not have even seen you. It's because I was carrying this burden. And the man's heart broke as he empathized and realized that his pastor wasn't perfect, that his pastor did have a life of his own and didn't exist merely for others at all times. And he apologized and became more patient and kind in turn. So, lift a burden with a kind word or a note, with a pat on the back or a smile or that hug or just some prayers, because some burdens are meant to be shared. There's an endless number of ways that we can share burdens. We've just named a few. In the church, I can mention a few. As you make out your faith promise, we finished our missions conference last month. As you continue it throughout the year, you are helping to share a burden. The burden of reaching another country. The burden of funds and the means and the livelihood and the home that these missionaries need and the church building that they need in order to reach out to those people. You are sharing a burden there. And you can share their burden all the more when you read their prayer letters that we set out on the table here, or when you take your bookmark that we gave out in Missions Conference and really use that and really pray for them consistently, you are sharing a burden. When you adopt one and spoil them by sending them things, some burdens are worthy of sharing. When you got involved in just a little thing like a care package for a military guy or something, it's a burden worthy of sharing and doing just a small part to help them. That's verse 2. Then we jump ahead to verse 5, and it almost seems like a contradiction, doesn't it? For every man shall bear his own burden. It just told us to bear one another's burdens. And then it says, every man shall bear his own burden. Well, this is talking about two different kinds of burdens. Matter of fact, in Scripture, there's 11 different words translated burden. God chose the right languages to put his word into because they are more specific than English, and they mean different things. And the only word we have for all 11 of those words really is burden. But as you know, there's different kinds of burdens. And verse 5 is talking about a different kind. Number 2, some burdens are meant to be shouldered. We said number 1, some are meant to be shared, and it's true. According to verse 2, some are meant to be shared, but some are not. Some are meant to be shouldered and shouldered alone. As verse 5 says, every man, every person has some burdens that they must bear on their own. There's some burdens which no one else can help you with. You can put out a plea, but no one can help you with that one. You've got to carry that one on your own. Some burdens are that way. Let's have some examples. Examples of burdens which must be shouldered. How about the consequences of personal sin? The consequences of personal sin. We live in a day and time in which people want to sin and want to try to ignore the consequences. People want to sin and seek forgiveness, and they receive the forgiveness, but then scratch their head at, why do I still have some consequences? Well, forgiveness and consequences are two different things, aren't they? The attitude today is, there are no consequences, or there should be no consequences. It's not your fault. It's the way your parents raised you. It was that dominating mother you had, or that rejecting father that you had. Your mama gave you oats too early. Made you play with dollies. I'll admit, I haven't forgiven my mom for the plaid pants she dressed me up in as a little kid. Just for school. Like, you can't forget getting beat up like that. It's not your fault. It's what your ex did to you. It's what your boss did to you, whatever. You're a victim. Listen, I'm not minimizing the effects of victimization. Our past can have some effects on us. I'm saying that the Bible says that in Jesus Christ, you can get past your past. When you take on that former attitude too far, the victim's mentality, you're shrugging off all personal responsibility for your life, and everything is somebody else's fault, you know. And we're in a mess today in America because we don't take personal responsibility for the choices that we ourselves made. Still, this housing crisis goes on. Because of the banks, I lost my home. Can you think of another reason why you might have lost it? Anyone. Bit off more than you could chew? Yeah, but they approved me. They said I could do it. Well, so it's their fault. Right? That's what we're saying today in America, and it's crazy. We made the choices. You made your bed. Now you got to sleep in it. The St. Louis Post-Dispatch reported one time, this is years ago, that killers become killers for two reasons. Number one, a difficult delivery at birth. Number two, they were rejected by their mother. She probably rejected them because of that difficult delivery, I say. Well, anyway, the article went on to say that if forceps were used on you when you were born, you have a higher likelihood of killing people someday. With forceps or something. I don't know what they mean by that. Listen, here's a little balance. I'll be the first to admit there are certain things in our past that can predispose us to certain things, but the bottom line is when we're in the situation, we make the choice and we're responsible. Your parents' lifestyle may have exposed you to adultery or cursing, anger, lying, gossip, whatever. But you still have a choice to make when you are tempted to do wrong. We can rise above it. We can rise above. We can break the cycle if we want to. With God's help, we can. There's victory in Jesus if we want it. But no, we like to play the blame game. We're world famous for passing the buck. And we get it honestly. You know how we get it honestly? Because our parents were that way and their parents were that way. It's true. Go all the way back to the Garden of Eden, where Adam said, "It's that woman's fault that you gave me, God," which is really saying it's your fault, right? It's that woman you gave me, God. And by the way, we're still using that excuse today. It's that woman you gave me, God. Then the woman said, "It's that snake," referring to Adam. No, referring to Satan. "It's that snake's fault." We're still passing the buck today, just like our forefathers and foremothers. When will we grow up? When will we rise up? When will we fess up and say, "I'm responsible"? Well, we can choose to sin, but we can't choose the consequences. And so this is the first example of some burdens that have to be shouldered. God says, "Hey, you're forgiven, but there are consequences, and you need to carry that cross." Look at verse 7. "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption." You want to sin physically? Don't be surprised if you end up suffering physically of the flesh. "He that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." We have a free will, and so does God when he reads our meter. He's a just God. A just weight and balance are his delight, and he makes things balance out. So, consequences of personal sin. Let's move on from that one. That one's not too popular. Not nearly the amens that sometimes we get. Judgment. Let's see if this does better. How about judgment? And another example of another burden to be shouldered, the burden of judgment. Now, seriously, this is serious. Hebrews 9:27 says, "It's appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment." This applies to everyone, believers and the lost, will all stand before a judgment. What are the names of these judgments? Someone? Great White Throne for the... It's the lost, actually. You had a 50-50 chance. True or false? Or the other one is... the Bema Seat, the judgment seat of Christ, which is the one for believers. Everyone here will someday stand before God alone. I tremble at that thought, even as a believer, even knowing that that's the good judgment, even knowing that he's the good judge, even knowing that my sins have been paid for on the cross, I still tremble at that thought. Imagine the thought of the great white throne standing there alone. We talk about personal responsibility. That's standing there alone, not being able to say, "Yeah, but my mom, my mm-mm." I'm talking to you, God says. Like we say to our kids, "Look at my face." Are we making a connection here? I can't stand with you as your pastor. Don't call on me to. I'm scared enough to stand for myself. I wish someone could stand with me, but they can't. Our parents won't be beside us, or our attorney. He won't be in heaven, right? So, we all have to give an account. That's wrong. One of the greatest privileges of my life was leading to the Lord an attorney who was visiting our church in Missouri. And he's one of the best Christians I know today. But he is rare. Listen, standing there before God, the saved will be secure. Praise the Lord. But we still have to answer at our judgment. Thank God our sin has already been judged at Calvary. but we'll have to give an account for how carefully or how carelessly that we lived our Christian life. The Bible says that some Christians will suffer loss. What does that mean? I don't want to know. And I don't want to find out. If you think that you can live a haphazard Christian life and get away with it in eternity, I think you're badly, sadly mistaken. Too many Baptists take their eternal security and take God's grace lightly and just treat their life like, well, at least I'm forgiven no matter what I do. It's a really strong sign of a person who's never really been saved, who lives that kind of a careless life. But if we do, and we can, it's possible as a Christian to do that, and many do that. If we think we'll get away with it in eternity, we are mistaken. Some will suffer loss, the Bible says. Well, what happens there for us at that Bema Seat judgment? One-on-one with God. It's an interview. We will be judged. Our stewardship, our motives, rewards will be given for that which was truly done for Christ out of the right motive. And He's the one who knows the heart. He can judge motives. You say, don't judge me. You can't say that to Christ. He can. He will. And we need to be ready. The lost will be at another judgment with no hope. They will stand before God with the burden of sin still on their back. And what is that sin? There's only one sin that will send you to hell. Somebody remind us, what is it? Unbelief. That one sin, rejecting Jesus Christ as Savior. If you need to be saved, and if you reject the opportunity, you're inviting this scene to take place alone before God. You and your burden being cast into the lake of fire together. Burden will be no company. Well, no matter which judgment you appear at, all the veneer is stripped away. All the excuses are gone. It's just us and God. So we need to be ready for that one. And listen, some burdens must be shouldered. That's one of them, the judgment. No one else can carry that for us. So we need to do our best to be ready for that. Number three, we said some burdens must be shared. That's verse 2. Some burdens must be shouldered. That's verse 5. Number 3, some burdens are meant to be, do you know what it is? Shed. Shed. Psalm 55:22 says, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee. It's not a burden that you have to carry yourself unless you insist upon it. He'll carry it for you. It may be a burden that your fellow brothers and sisters can't obey verse 2 and help you with, help shoulder it, help share it, that is. But it can be shed because Christ wants to carry it for you. Cast thy burden upon the Lord and He shall sustain thee. What is it, 2 Peter 3:9? Is that the one? Or where is it? That's the one I'm looking for. Thank you. Casting, yeah. Every care upon Him. That's right. Jesus is our great burden bearer. Sometimes we cling to a burden. We try to carry it ourselves. But many burdens He wants to and can and will carry for us if we will allow it. Sometimes we cling to a burden, however. We try to carry it ourselves. We can be deceived into thinking that God wants for us to carry something by ourselves, as if we're somehow serving God or being noble by carrying it. But some burdens He wants to carry for us, if we'll let Him. Can you think of an example tonight? Obviously, there's the biggie. Aren't you glad that He carried that cross so you didn't have to? There's still some today who try to carry the cross of salvation. And they can't do it. Some who literally tie or nail themselves to a cross and carry it around like they're being noble or spiritual. I'm thankful that Jesus did that for us. Examples tonight of a burden that Christ can carry for you, because you can't carry it yourself. No one else can help you carry it? There you go. You could motivate us as much, as strongly as you can, to be burdened as you are for that child. And let's say you even succeed and we become that burdened. We can't save them. But we can all join together and pray for God to carry that burden for us and to relieve that burden by bringing them to the point of salvation, whatever it takes. Hard prayer for a parent, too, is to say, Lord, whatever it takes to get their attention is better than for them to go into an eternity lost. And what a relieved burden then when God answers that prayer and they are finally saved. I've heard many great testimonies like that. Never give up. That's a good one. Somebody else? Guilt. Yes. Well, can't I relieve you of your guilt? You are forgiven, son. No, I can't. I can't. If I could, I would. And if I had a priest who could do that for me, I'd be going to him. But I do, and he's my great high priest in heaven. He's the one who can do that. Somebody else? These are good ideas. No. Yes. Yes, sir. He's already carrying us. He's already carrying us, so he's already carrying the burden, really. So why keep it on our back? That is a great illustration. It's so good that it's on the last page here, which we haven't gotten to yet. I'll show you after the service. Except the way I heard it, it was a sack of taters. Anyway, it all works. It all works. No, that's quite all right. Now I don't have to say it. So, you want to finish the rest too? There's only one page anyway. Okay. A good verse, passage, Matthew 11, 28 through 30 says, Jesus said, come unto me, all ye who are weak, or who are labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. That's a burden. And learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. In other words, Christ wants to trade us burdens, and we will like the one that he will put on us so much better. And he can take ours. It's wonderful what Christ will trade us for, isn't it? Give me, in exchange for my sin, a white robe of his righteousness? That's trading up. That's pretty good. For my burdens, if I will let him carry them, he'll give me his burden. What is his burden, by the way, that's easy? His yoke is easy. His burden is light. What is it that he trades to us for our burdens? What's the burden that he puts on our back? But it's not a burden like, it's not a bad burden like the one I gave to him. Okay, how so?
Well, like you said, it's not a burden, but it was the best thing he gave me.
Okay, I'll accept that. That's good. That's good. Peace, who said that? Peace.
Forgiveness,
yeah. What's his yoke that's easy? What's this burden that's light? This is an interesting concept to me. I don't have the answer, by the way. I'm asking you.
The concept here is the idea of training oxen to plow. And the
Okay? So the first burden is heavy. Yeah. So you can train an ox with a heavy yoke, and then they're just under that burden and they submit to it. But then you can lighten it with a lighter yoke later on too, right? And then they're already trained, so they'll still go with it. Like they say, they train a baby elephant by tying him down with a big, huge stake that he can't get away from. And sometime later, he's been so trained at trying to get away from it that he can't, that now he's a great big elephant, and they can tie him down with a little stake that he could easily pull out, but never does because he never tries. Interesting, huh? That's good. Well, when it's more than you can bear, when you don't think you can take another step, that's the kind of burden that you can lay on Jesus. When you are at the end of your rope, you look at your spouse and say, have we not done everything that we can do to fix this? And there is no way out. There is no answer. I don't get it. Hold on. It's always darkest just before the dawn. And at the end of that rope, tie a knot, right? And hang on and realize that your redemption draws nigh very soon, since God won't put more on you than you can handle. You can lay that burden on Jesus and not have to carry it anymore, because you're taking personal responsibility. You're saying, we're doing our best with this situation. Now, it's God's problem. Yeah, that's good. The winds and the waves that are over our heads are under His feet. And He can help us to rise above. That's right. And grace is wonderful, isn't it? Because the more you need, the more you get. You know? I'll share an illustration from just last night on the phone with somebody. I know they wouldn't mind it, and it even is important for us as we go into our prayer time here in a minute, this illustration, all right? Ms. Sharon Dunn tells me that her pastor here at Grace, when they first came to Grace, told her that there is a kind of grace that you've never experienced in your life because you don't get it until you need it. It's sustaining grace, the kind that you need when nothing else can sustain you. And she's always remembered that and told me on the phone last night, and now we are experiencing it. Now, as Bob is being told, you know, likely dialysis and a huge life change, said, it's okay. Somehow it's okay. What we didn't think would be okay, it is okay. And God is giving us a grace that we haven't experienced before because we haven't needed it, at least in this situation. They have experienced it before in other areas of their life too, you know. But in between events, we tend to forget about God's sustaining grace until we need it again, until we experience it again. It's matchless. It's wonderful. Okay? So put that on top of your prayer list too. And we're almost done. We need to let go and let God, when it comes to those burdens, let go of them and let Him do it. And realize it's true what our brother said, that Christ is carrying us. So He's carrying our burden anyway. So when He says, put it on my back, you might as well take it off of yours. Let Him carry you. Well, here's the good news, and this is the end. One of two things will happen when we cast our burden on the Lord. One of two things will happen. Number one, either the Lord will lift the burden, and I've seen that happen. I've seen people have a health need, and they pray, and it goes away. God lifted that burden. Maybe they had a financial need and God miraculously provided the money. He lifted that burden. It's always great when that's how it happens, but that's not always the way that God works. Remember in Psalm 55:22, it says, "Cast thy burden on the Lord, and he shall sustain what?" What was it? What's the next word? "Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain what?" Who said it? They're whispering, "Thee," right? "Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain," T-H-E-E, not it. That's the burden. Thee. Sometimes the Lord doesn't lift the burden. Sometimes the Lord will lift you. Lift you. Guessed right? Good job. They were placing wagers on the back row about what that last blank was. You got it right. Congratulations. Paying 2-1 tonight. Now you know what it's like to experience God's sustaining grace. He lifts you. The Apostle Paul's an example of this. You know, three times he asked God to lift a burden that he was carrying. And we preach about that very story where he asked for God's to remove his thorn in the flesh. And we say that God's answer was no, but I'll give you grace. No, not really. Three times really, God says, yes, I'll lift that burden as I lift you too. As I sustain you through this. That's God's sustaining grace. Some of you are tempted, I am tempted sometimes, to get bitter toward God because we've asked Him to lift some burden and it doesn't seem that He has, but please realize it may be His will to lift you up, to carry you and that burden through it all. But if we throw a perpetual pity party and don't allow Him to carry us, then He doesn't carry our burden either. He shall sustain thee. So one time a guy was walking down the road with a sack of taters. Oh, okay. Never mind. You've probably heard this one before. I like the hymn, "I Must Tell Jesus All of My Trials. I cannot bear these burdens alone. In my distress, He kindly will help me. He ever loves and cares for His own." So, cast your burden on the Lord. He shall sustain thee. Some burdens are meant to be shed. Some burdens are meant to be shared. That's one another. We're about to do that in prayer now. Some must be shouldered. And so let's understand the difference. Let's always remember these SHs presented by Shirley tonight. And seriously, I've had these committed to memory for a long time. I've preached on them before here years ago. It's helpful in life to have a sermon in your head, you know, especially something like this, because you'll always have a burden. And you can ask yourself, is this something that I need to shoulder? Is this something that I need to shed? And we can recognize in one another, you know, burdens that need to be shared and so fulfill the law of Christ. Let's go to prayer now. And you can write down Bob there at the top. He's hoping to find out some more soon. But it's not a for sure thing, but his levels have fallen to the point that they're saying that it looks like it's acute kidney failure. In other words, sudden onset, like they've just stopped or they are just now stopping. Not a long process of going down, but just a line in the sand is the way that appears. And so let's write that down for Bob Dunn, for Ms. Sharon as well. And, you know, we don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves, but I know part of their prayer request is, if it's dialysis, that according to God's will, that it would be best, whether it's the kind where you go sit somewhere or the kind that where it's overnight in your own home, or that a pill could handle it without having to go that far yet, you know, is a request. Their thoughts go toward the missions trip as well. Let's just pray about all these things with them, okay? And who else can add to our list tonight?
Raleigh, I'm there for his eye surgery the 23rd.
23rd is next Friday.
When?
Tuesday. This is Cadillac, right? Cataract?
Yeah.
Not Dave. She's repeating my dumb, lame joke. Raleigh, cataract surgery. Some jokes don't translate, even to the hearing. Okay. Somebody else? Yes. Right. Brother Mike was in ER last night for many hours, and it looks like gallbladder, and he's got an appointment here in a couple weeks. They say it's going to have to come out. Have you heard anything more, you guys, from him? And Miss Tina asked me to pray for a coworker who's just heard about a brain tumor, also a coworker of Miss Tina's. What else tonight? Yeah. Cool. All right. Conrad will be here soon, week or? Cool, like here Sunday? Okay. It's kind of confusing. While we're praying for Conrad, we can pray for Chris. Miss Tina is sick right now. I think some others too in our number. Some of the flu happening. Okay, family whose son was saved Sunday morning. So we'll pray for them. They're one of our newest families. A praise is on our goals. You know, we set in like August just to finish the year with 30 new members. We're at 25 right now that have joined the church. And of course, as you saw Sunday, there's another 25 new people who haven't joined and should, real soon. Yes, sir.